everybody, and welcome back to the Pitching In NPL show. And coming up on this week's show, later we're going to be talking about this weekend's big matches in the Pitching In Northern Premier League Premier Division, as we'll be joined by non-league reporter from the other side of the Pennines, Thomas Feeney. And we're going to be talking the FA Cup with 9 managers. James Hayes is with us as well. Hello, James. What have I done? So it was a big night on Tuesday, and I decided, you know what? I'm going to show Step Four some love. We had all the managers pretty much from the Northern Premier League Premier Division on last week. So I thought, you know what? Let's show some love to Step Four. So I set out this morning without checking the results first. I'm going to bring on every Step Four manager who's had a good result on Tuesday night in the FA Cup. And that means coming up on this week's show, we'll be joined by Neil Young at Marine, Graham Jury at Stamford, Martin Carruthers at Ilkeston, David Fish at Mosley, Mark Swan at Chasetown, Paul Quinn at Tadcaster, the two Craigs, Craig Parry at Worksop, and Prescott Cable's Craig Davis, and Cal Jarrett from Mash United will be joining us. But we might as well start by talking about the opening weekend. Very, very early days, James. We can go through all the results one by one, but let's talk about the big results that tell us a little bit. South Shields 3-0 against Michelover Sports. A fantastic result that for South Shields. Sees them go top of the table on goal difference. There were some wins as well for Buxton. Oh, sorry, James.
It's all right. I mean, it was a good match for what it was, in fairness. So
Buxton 4, Radcliffe 2. Tell us more.
Yeah, so good, two good even sides, but Buxton showing the quality they've got in his team this year. Radcliffe could have really brought it back in late in the second half, but the damage was really done in the first 15, 20 minutes. Buxton knew how to control the game and kept Radcliffe out of it. But Radcliffe don't win the first game of the season ever anyway.
No. Those are the views of James. I've not checked that stat. But get in touch, let us know if Radcliffe have ever won the first game of the season. Gainsborough did win their first game of the season, though. A 2-0 win over Hyde United. While Scarborough also picked up 3 points, they beat Atherton Coles by 2-0 on the road. Warrington Town, James, this was game of the weekend. Basford United 0, Warrington Town 2. Great result, that, for Warrington.
Yeah, great pick-up there, especially with Warrington developing the team very late on in regards to recruiting new players, whereas Basford have been a bit more settled through the pre-season. And as we said on the review show about 3 weeks ago now, it's going to be the games like this that will decide the league depending on what happens. Jack Dunn looks like he's been a good little signing for him. He joined late on as well for Warrington. So
It is early days to say that's a six-pointer.
But
we know Basford and Warrington are going to be in the top half of the table. So therefore, that is a big result, isn't it? Right, let's talk about another win. Whitby Town travelling to Witton Albion and beating them by 2-0. So a great start there for Chris Hardy's side. Also, a good start for Ashton United. A 1-0 win at Stafford Rangers last Saturday. Whilst Bamber Bridge finished off the winning sides from last Saturday in the Premier Division, they beat Matlock Town by 1-0. There were a few draws as well. FC United drew 1-1 with Nantwich Town in a very entertaining game of football, and a fair result, both managers commenting after the match that it was a fair result, the draw there. Grantham Town picking up a point as well, James, at the weekend at Morpeth Town. That seems like a very good result for Martin McIntosh's side and a good way to start the season for Grantham.
Yeah, especially as well as Grantham went down to 10 men early on in the second half as well, so to hold on as they are. However, the team that they've built at Grantham this year is a lot of the players that left games for Trinity and some of them have come from the Southern League. So again, we know McIntosh knows this division inside out, but against Guts and Morpeth Town, who again last year did shock the league a little bit. Great result for him there.
And one last point picked up at the weekend was at Stalybridge Celtic. Stalybridge Celtic 1, Lancaster City 1. Stalybridge Celtic there starting off with a draw at Bower Fold. Lancaster City picking up a point on the road. Right, well, later in the show, we're going to be joined by Thomas Feeney as we'll be previewing round 2 of the Northern Premier League Premier Division matches taking place this weekend. Let's talk about the FA Cup, though, James, because that happened midweek, and that's unusual in itself, isn't it? And we have got several managers coming up on this week's show in a second. But big shock, AFC Mansfield 3, Gainsborough Trinity 0. But Curtis Woodhouse did say he's got a thin squad. I'm imagining that wasn't the full strength team he put out there on Tuesday. But congratulations to AFC Mansfield on that result. Nonetheless, our old friends AFC Mansfield. Carlton Town, sadly, were knocked out of the FA Cup on Tuesday night. They were beaten by Banbury United by 1-0. Whilst in the Derbyshire Derby, Buxton 7, Belper Town 0. This is ominous, isn't it, for everyone else? I know Belper Town are step four, but James Walshaw scoring a hat-trick, Diego Di Girolamo scoring a hat-trick, that's pretty feisty stuff.
Yeah, just going back to what we said a second about the Buxton-Radcliffe game, shows the quality Buxton have got this season.
But result of the round, I'm going to suggest, happened in the Midlands. Chasetown 2, 10-man Chasetown 2, by the way. Chasetown 2, Basford United 1. What a fantastic result this is from Tuesday night. And for more on this, on Wednesday evening, the day after, I caught up with the manager at Chasetown. It's a welcome to the show to Mark Swan.
It was a bit of a mad one, really. We really went into detail. And luckily, they'd played Hensford, and the Hensford games are all recorded. You really get chance, you know what I mean, when you're playing against teams in the higher leagues and getting an opportunity to go and watch them. So we really went through that, and we knew the shape, and we knew the strengths and the weaknesses. And to be fair, I spoke to Jamie, my number two, and we half like said, look, let's be positive and like sort of get at them. Let's see what they're like to get at. So we went with like two strikers, a little bit disjointed with Josh Cook and Joe Butlin. Obviously, Joe Butlin's always going to be central and occupying the two centre half. And we went with Josh Cook, like sort of where he's usually central as a two. We played him like a little bit wide and disjointed. And to be fair, I think in the first half, it was evident that, you know, we were the, you know, the team in ascendancy that's going to go on and like create things in the final third. So I was really, really happy with that. The first 35 minutes, scoring the goal early. But then, obviously, a little bit of naivety. Josh Cook, funnily enough, who's not used to tracking back, goes in the back of somebody, gives away a bit of a needless free kick, and the quality the left-sided kid's got, he knocks a great ball in. It sort of mirrors our finish, really, you know what I mean? A good ball into the box, and the lad goes in and scores a great header, and then you're going in 1-1, so it becomes a little bit of a different tactical switch second half. And then, obviously, the keeper gets sent off straight after the whistle. So then we bring a young boy on, and we've had to go to sort of more like win the game than in the sense of you're going to be resilient and maybe half going for penalties, if I'm totally honest, and not let them score. And then, you know, we've gone and scored. So it's like, it was a bit of a surreal night, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, big congratulations on that result. Obviously, we recorded this on Wednesday, so we don't know who you've got in the next round. But, yeah, you know, this since you came back to the club, you came back in February, didn't you? And then COVID struck. I suppose it's good to be back, but it's good to be back doing that. I mean, how's preparations been for the season?
No, it's been really good. You know, obviously, I was there in the good times, the FA Cup runs as a player, and then I become Charlie Blakemore's assistant manager when I retired. And, you know, it's quite mad, really. I've always looked at the club, football club. I've always been really close to Mickey Joyner, the chairman. And when I went back in, it was like, it's as if nothing had changed in the sense of, you know, you felt comfortable straight away. Because all the people, you know, the secretary, the match sponsors, that everybody's exactly the same people. So I felt as if me and Jamie settled really, really fast, because you're around people that you've been, you know, around for 3 or 4 years of your football career anyway, as either players or as a part of the management team. So that was a real good thing. We settled really quick. And don't get me wrong, you know, 7 games in where we felt as if we turned it around a little bit, this hit us. And it's a little bit like disappointing, really, because we're just getting into it, just getting to know the players and just getting to get an understanding of, you know, the actual football club again. But then, to be fair, it then becomes a clean slate, doesn't it? You know, no relegations, no promotions. You know, you've got a chance to bring in the personnel and recruit the personnel that you want to bring in, which we've really been happy with. Pre-season started June, trying to prepare for the season starting 2nd of August and getting put in back. So we managed it quite well, you know, bringing him in once a week. And then obviously the FA started making announcements, so then it become twice a week, and then the green light come, and then it was like, you know, game on 3 times a week pre-season. So we've been together for a long time, which has really helped with the new lads coming in and obviously the retainees as well. So it's been absolutely brilliant. It's given people time to bond. You look at the negatives that you haven't played football for 6 months, but you look at the positives with the new lads have come in and you got like three and a half months to bond as well. So it's been really positive and really good. And
speaking of positivity, I'm going to suggest there's going to be a bit of a spring in your step after that result against Basford this weekend. Going to need it though. This is a tough assignment. This so away at Belper Town. What's your thoughts on this weekend's match in the league?
Do you know what? Every game's tough. I played at level. I've been with Charlie Blakemore at the level. I understand the level. I understand the Northern League. And every game you got to understand that it's going to be firstly about competing. You know, it doesn't matter how technically good you are, or the players you've got, good pedigree and that. You got to compete first. You got to be physically up to the task. And Belper Town last season, it was a bit of a smash and grab. I think might have been our first win. I'm not too sure, but they've half peppered us, and we scored at the end. So we understand they're a big, physical, well organised side, like every other team in the league, to be fair. And no doubt they'll be up there where they was last season. On the periphery of the playoffs. So we have no doubt, every game, it doesn't matter if it's Belper Town, Ilkeston, Wisbeach, whoever it is, every game's going to be really, really tough. And you've got to have to be switched on to minute your best to get 3 points.
Max Swan there, manager of Chasetown. City of Liverpool were knocked out of the FA Cup at the hands of our very own Morpeth. City of Liverpool 0, Morpeth Town 3. Steve Turnbull there, first win, competitive win on the board as Morpeth Town manager. I think that's right, what I've just said there. Commiserations to Sheffield FC. Colville Town 2, Sheffield FC 0. But congratulations to Ilkeston Town. Coventry Sphinx 0, Ilkeston Town 2. Both goals for Ilkeston coming in the last 13 minutes or so. And for more on this, on Wednesday evening, I caught up with the manager at Ilkeston. It's a welcome back to the show to Martin Carruthers. Well, Martin, a big thank you for joining us and congratulations on that victory last night. How was the evening in Coventry?
Very difficult, to be honest. We said to the lads, we'd had them watched. We knew the pitch was difficult. They'd had three draws already this season and won all three games on penalty. So we certainly didn't want to take them on in a penalty shootout because obviously they've been through the mill already three times and won them all, so we were certainly nervous about that. It was a really difficult game there. Very well organised side, aggressive, defended really well. And it was a really tough night, and it took a very good goal from our substitute, Mason Lee, and a goal of the season contender from Jack Thomas to see it. But, credit to Coventry Sphinx, they gave it a real game, and it certainly wasn't easy.
It's been a good start to the season. Shall we talk about Saturday's game as well against Cleethorpes? A 3-2 victory there in Lincolnshire. To the outsider looking in, you'd suggest that was a pretty big game of football there. And for your team to take the 3 points, what does that tell us about Ilkeston this season?
Yeah, to be honest, when the fixture list came out and the first two games were Cleethorpes away and Stamford at home, you go, wow, how unlucky can you get? So we knew our pre-season preparation had to be good, and in all honesty, our results in pre-season were pretty poor, really. When you try and say to people it's not pre-season that counts, but obviously winning games breeds confidence, and we had some tough games. We had a good game against Notts County and Grantham Town, and obviously we didn't win those games. So I was a little sceptical going into the Cleethorpes game, but we had a great performance and great result the week before in the FA Cup against Shepshed, so that set us up nicely. And I remember going up to Cleethorpes early on when I came back to Ilkeston last year and around Christmas time, and they'd not lost at home all season. So I know what a really good side they've got, and at times they put us under real pressure on Saturday. And I'd have taken a point before the game, but to take all 3 points away at Cleethorpes is a magnificent achievement, and I don't see many teams going there and taking anything this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And when it comes to pre-season, like you said, a bit up and down, but when it comes to recruitment, are you done now, or are you waiting to see what happens at step one and step two?
In terms of our own recruitment, I brought in quite a few lads from Basford, lads who I know, lads who have been successful with me in the past. So, we're really happy with our squad. We've got a real competition for places, and we're still forming as a team. We're still not quite there at 100%. So But I expect us to be in the, you know, the top five or six all season, challenging for promotion.
I was gonna ask you for your expectations, but you've just nailed it there, haven't you? I mean, it is going to be a competitive year, that's for sure, though, across the board, because you mentioned Cleethorpes, Tuesday night's opponents, Stamford. It's going to be a tough year, isn't it?
Oh, it's going to be a really tough year. I mean, we know all about the quality of Stamford, and, you know, I'll have to mention Leek Town as well, because they were the two outstanding teams last year, and, you know, I think if the season would have continued, they both would have got promoted, and rightly so, and you know, they're going to be the two favourites this year. Stamford have started on absolute fire, you know, played three, scored 13, conceded none. So, you know, it's a mammoth task for us going into that game. And you know, the likes of Leek and Stamford, you know, their players have been together for three, four seasons. And, you know, we're a newly formed team this year. So it's going to be a tall order, but we'll be giving it everything, you know, and in terms of the infrastructure, what the owners and the chairman have done at the football club with the developments at the football club. You know, they've put in a massive amount of hard work over the summer months and invested heavily in the club, certainly off the field and on the field. And, you know, it'd be great just to bring some success back to the club and to the whole community. And the fans, are, I must say, have been absolutely magnificent this season. And, you know, it's just going to be a great place to be this year.
Martin Carruthers there, manager of Ilkeston, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. Let's talk about FC United. 6-2 win over Pontefract Colls. Doesn't tell the full story. FC United went 5-0 up in this game within 35 minutes. But then Nathan Modest scored within 13 seconds of the second half kicking off for Pontefract Colls. And then Pontefract Colls got another goal back to make it 5-2. But then Aaron Morris popped up with 3 minutes to go to put the game beyond all doubt. But FC United through to the next round. But a good second half there from Pontefract Colls. Also going through, Marine. They beat Frickley Athletic on the road by 1-0. And for more on this, on Wednesday afternoon, I caught up with the manager at Marine. It's a welcome back to the show to Neil Young.
It's always going to be a difficult game away at Frickley. You know, I've been there before, and they always make it hard for you. They've got a good squad of players, very experienced, and, you know, they put a lot of balls on top of us, long throws, set pieces, but thought in the main, you know, we dealt quite well with it and had the better chances during the game. A bit like Saturday, should have took our chances when they came along. We managed to get one and then defended really well.
I mean, how's pre-season been, and how's the last week been? Because it's a bit surreal, isn't it, all this?
Yeah, it's very funny. Obviously, starting with the FA Cup as well last Saturday before, and pre-season, trying to gauge, you know, where players are at. And, you know, I think a few players will admit, you know, they've probably not done as much as they could have done in lockdown, which has been it's been quite difficult trying to get them up to match tempo. But it is what it is, and, you know, we've got to get on with it. Everyone's in the same boat, aren't they? So it's a fairly, you know, level playing field. But yeah, it's different. And as I say, cup competitions come and thick and fast. You know, to say your first, you know, four games, three of them will be cup ties. Obviously, the FA Trophy at the weekend. So it is different. But, you know, as I say, everyone's in the same boat. So we just get on with it and hopefully improve as we go.
And it's difficult to assess. I don't even know why I'm asking you this question, Neil, to be honest, about targets and expectations for the season to come, because you basically have to take each week as it comes, really, I suppose.
I mean, yeah, that's the old cliche we'll use. You look after every, but, you know, we're not hiding the fact that, you know, we want to look to be challenged at the very top of the table. You know, we done well last year up until lockdown. We know other teams have strengthened. We've strengthened ourselves, and we'll hopefully continue to do that. But, you know, mainly it's just making sure we improve and we are challenging at the top end of the table. And if we can have a cup run in the FA Cup and maybe the FA Trophy, then, you know, that's better again. But, you know, the key thing is we keep improving. And I'm sure most managers and teams at this stage, with the indifferent start, shall we say, and I've called it a little bit of a dogleg start, because it's difficult with the National League being a little bit in limbo and the National League North being in limbo, because there's a lot of players on trial in them clubs who have still not come out. So recruitment hasn't been as easy as what it normally is in a normal year. But as I say, everyone's working under the same conditions. So it's a fair playing level. You know, it's a fair playing field. We've just got to get on with it.
And I feel like I should just replay last year's season preview show that we did, where I said to you, the North West Division, very, very competitive. You can make an argument for the top 20 to make the playoffs and get promoted. That's not changed, has it, regardless of the situation we find ourselves in more generally?
No, and, you know, you've got to, you know, you look at our game on Saturday, it's probably the best. We played Dunstan three times last year, and that on Saturday was probably the best we've played against them, particularly first half. You know, we should have been the game should have been over by half time, and you've got to give them, you know, credit that they came back and second half and had the right goal, which you'd expect at Dunstan away from home, or against Dunstan anywhere really. So, you know, yeah, it's going to be very competitive. You know, we've just got to, as I say, concentrate on ourselves. And you know, I think if we can improve with the squad that we've got, individually and collectively as a team, then, you know, our expectations should be that we're challenging at the right end of the table. But that improvement has got to come, and we've got to make sure that comes quite quickly.
And final question, like you touched upon earlier, I mean, FA Trophy first qualifying round this weekend, tough game this one away at Tadcaster.
Yeah.
They're through to the next round of the FA Cup as well. What are you expecting here?
As you just said, a tough game. You know, we played them again a couple of times last year. Went there and lost 2-1. And we beat them at home 1-0, I think. But both real tough, tight games. You know, it's a good football pitch. We've had a funny week, really. Dunstan away, Frickley away, and now Tadcaster away in a week. So we've done some travelling. But yeah, you know, it's another good tie. Looking forward to it. They had a great win yesterday at 7-2 on Tuesday. So, you know, we know we're playing a good side. But, you know, I'm sure they know a lot about us as well. So, fingers crossed, you know, we go there, give our best, and hopefully be getting to the next round.
Neil Young there, manager of Marine, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. Next up, James, the first penalty shootout we have to report on from last night. Grantham Town 2, Rushall Olympic 2, Grantham winning 3-1 on penalties.
Yeah, Rushall are a very strong side. So again, Grantham, as we said a couple of minutes ago, will shock a couple of teams this year. And I think if they can get a good draw in the next round, particularly with the National League may not be starting up straight away, great chance for them to get a little bit of shock too.
There was almost a shock in Lancashire on Tuesday night. Lancaster City 0, Runcorn Town 0. Lancaster City, though, safely going through 4-3 on penalties. Big banana skin for Mikulova also on Tuesday. Travelling to League Town, high-flying League Town. They scored 5 goals, didn't they, in their first league game? League.
Yeah.
So they mean business this year again. League Town 1, Mikulova FC 2, though. Mikulova safely going through to the next round. Also going through, Marsh United. They were 1-0 winners over Trafford, and that seems like a good opportunity to welcome back to the show the manager at Marsh United. Here's Cal Jarrett.
We knew from the start it was going to be a hard game because Trafford are a good team, you know, in our league. We knew a bit about them. And we knew it would be the way the game panned out, and we had control of it in certain areas, but it just wasn't dropping for us in front of goal most of the night. You know, we were snapping at chances. The goalkeeper was just getting on the end of things, and he was making it very difficult. He defended really well, and I just thought it was going to be one of them nights. But for, you know, finally, Kev's come up with a goal off a long Liam O'Sullivan throw-in from the far side, you know, and he's just got his head to it, beat the defender who was at the back, who'd been a colossal for them all through the game, to be fair. He won every header, and Kev's won the last one, and it's got in, so I was really, really pleased that we didn't go into penalties, because it's a lottery, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I was going to say, I mean, it's been a very good start to the season, because obviously you got through to that round already, but when it comes to the league, you know, you travelled to City, Liverpool, you beat them in the opening game of the season for the league campaign. It's been a pretty good start.
Yeah, I mean, I was started quite far back, even if you go back as far as the Scarborough semi-final, which was our second game, really, coming back from the lockdown. And that was the competitive semi-final, North Ryde, and then the Thornaby, the final. Then, obviously, we've had 3 FA Cup games and we've had a league game. So we'd had a good few games, you know, competitive games going into that City, Liverpool, and I'd watched them. I'd sent Nicky Ward down, my assistant, to watch them, so we knew exactly how they were playing. They were another good side, a physical side, which you knew they would be. But on the day, our team, I thought we were brilliant on the first game of the season, you know, to get the 3 points going away. We just, everything clicked, one of them games where we come away and we could have been 5 or 6, you know, in that game. So I was very, very pleased with the start up there now.
Obviously, we're recording this on Wednesday, so we don't know who you've got in the next round of the FA Cup. But when we talk about the league, a big game coming up this weekend in Brighouse Town coming to Mask. I mean, what's your assessment on the league this year, and what's your expectations about what your team can achieve?
My expectations never changed anything. If anyone knows me and they listen to this, they all know that exactly how I want to finish top of the pile. It's as simple as that. There's no point in being anything if you're not going to try and win anything. You know, I'm not the type of manager that's going to sit here and be turning around and saying, we want to get the playoffs, want to do this, because it's not my style. I'll be quite honest. We want to win the league. It's as simple as that, because that's what you do in football, to win games and to win leagues and trophies. But we also know on the other side, it is a difficult league. You know, for me, working without putting pressure on them, they're the team to try and catch. They were the ones 18 points in front. So that's why I've had to change things around in the squad this year to try and make us a bit better in the final third, score a lot more goals. You know, our defence wasn't really a problem last year, so I brought two good strikers in to work alongside Louis Johnson and Curtis Round. And up to now, it's working well, but our expectations are to try and win this league without sounding too big-headed.
Is that your recruitment done as well, Carl? Because we've been speaking to a few managers about the National League and Step 2. You know, they're starting a bit later, if they start at all, that is. There's going to be a few players flying around, isn't there, in the coming weeks?
Yeah, I think it's one of them. No manager will tell you that they're done, because you're always looking to improve as a manager right along the scale. You're never really going to keep a lot of your squad happy that you've got. I will try, but I'm not stupid enough to say that I'm going to be able to do it week in, week out. So I'll most probably get lads that maybe just want more game time and move on from us. So I've got to either fill them boots, or if I look and think there's someone better than what I've got or make us stronger as a squad, well, I'm always looking around, and every manager will tell you that. At the minute, though, I am happy with what we've got. But if someone did come along, you know yourself, I'm always looking to try and bring players from a higher level now to come and play for us, instead of looking down over to bring them up, because if we want to achieve what we want to achieve, we have to look at that calibre of player.
And final question, Carl. How good is it to be back, even if it's on a bit of a knife edge at the moment, but how good is it to be back playing?
Well, hopefully we can keep it going, you know. With all the government regulations that are in at the moment, it's just good having a few fans around at the minute that help the players get through games. And also finances for the club's massive. We've got to look at that. But just being back together with all the lads in the changing rooms and just all the team spirit and everything like that, it is good. And I'd be devastated if anything happens to, like, most managers and chairmen and everything like that, if it got knocked on the head again, you know, made things hard for us. But you know, we'll carry on as good as we can and do our jobs as good as we can as well. Fingers crossed it can keep going.
Carl Jarrett there, manager of Marsh United, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. James, I've got to come to you for the next result. Mosley 2, Ramsbottom United 1. Mosley there, through to the next round.
Yeah, tale of two strong sides as well. Mosley squeaking through it by the looks of it with two stunning goals. I'm going to have to watch back later on, thanks to Tom Beresford. Both of the opening games of the season have shown that they are good, strong sides. Mosley are going to be challenging for Workington, Marine, Ramsbottom. It was a great game as well.
Well, let's hear more about the mood in the camp at Seal Park. On Wednesday, I caught up to the manager at Mosley. It's a welcome to the show to David Fish.
It was brilliant. It was the first home game, competitive home game under lights me at Mosley, so it was a great occasion. We had a good crowd on. Ramsbottom are a good side, so it was an entertaining game and absolutely delighted to get a win.
And with regards to yourself, obviously you took over during the summer. There's easier situations than taking over a club during the COVID crisis. How's closed season and preparations been for the new campaign?
It's been good, but it's been long. I was very conscious that being new to the club, I needed to get the lads together really early. So as soon as restrictions were lifted enough to allow us to get together in groups of six, we got the lads in, which was nice. It gave me a good chance to get to know them, the lads, to build a bit of a bond. And we've had most of our squad together for the bulk of our 11-week period. So pre-season has been really good. It's been competitive. It's been high energy. And the lads look fit and strong coming out of it.
And that bears out with the results, because obviously you beat Ramsbottom there on Saturday in the league. You beat Ossett United. For the casual viewer of the North West Division, you know, Ossett United and Ramsbottom would be expected to be in and around the playoffs. So, you know, you're putting down a marker there, aren't you, early doors?
We are, and it's reassuring for me. We've done something quite different. The club's moving in a different direction, and a lot of our squad have stepped up from the North West Counties and are quite young players, you know, young, hungry with a point to prove. But you always have that doubt in the back of your mind about whether they can quite cut it, putting so many of them together so quickly. But any doubts I had have completely been dispelled. They've been excellent.
And obviously, you're going to need this squad, aren't you? Because it's going to be such a up and down season, and it is going to be Saturday, Tuesday Well, for a long time, isn't it? And here's hoping we can keep the season going. And, you know, this weekend, you're hosting Pickering. Pickering have already, you know, created a mini upset last week with that result against Workington. So what's your take on this weekend's match?
I'm under no illusions. I think we're going to have tough games every week. A lot of teams have taken this summer to reset a little bit. There's been lots of changes. And looking at the results at weekend, it didn't seem that anybody... you know, anybody's kind of really battering anybody. I know Ramsbottom had a really good result at Widnes, but when you look at the sending off and the factors that influence that kind of overall scoreline. So I think it'll be tough, but it's a good opportunity for us to just shuffle the pack a little bit. We've got lads chomping at the bit, and I think that enthusiasm will help us a lot over the next few weeks, especially when we've got so many games.
And that enthusiasm as well from the touchline too. I mean, good crowd there last night. It's good, isn't it, to be back, even with crowd restrictions, that kind of thing. It's just good. It's better than where we were, that's for sure, when you took over.
It makes such a difference. We played the first couple of games behind closed doors. First game today with Celtic, and you normally would expect a good crowd in that. And it was, you know, it was a reasonably good game of football, but it just missed something. When we eventually got to Campion and we had the fans in, and even if it was 100, restricted to 150, it was so different. There was such a buzz, you know, such a buzz about it. The lads got a little bit of a lift. And once we got back to Field Park and we've gone up to the 400, there's a proper atmosphere. You know, it feels like a real game of football. The fans are, you know, cheering us on, and somebody does something exciting on the pitch, and you get that emotion coming from the stands. It makes a real difference, especially young lads. You know, a lot of them haven't played in front of those sorts of crowds before. So it really, really does lift them. It makes such a difference playing in front of such a passionate crowd.
And final question, David. I mean, it's been a great start to the season already. How much are you looking forward to the rest of the campaign? And also, what's your expectations for what Mosley can achieve this year, do you feel?
I'm looking forward to seeing how far this squad can go. They're constantly surprising me in terms of, you know, the ability I knew about, the fitness I knew about, but the way they've gelled together and the attitude they've shown, they kind of keep getting better and better. So it'd be interesting to see how far we can go. I think with the squad, it's going to be a challenge to compete at the top end of the table. So, you know, realistically, a top half finish and a good cup run, and we've already, you know, doing pretty well in the FA Cup. I think that'll be a good season for us. I think if we can then keep the bulk of this squad together going into next season, I think it gives us a really, really strong platform to build from. So that's certainly what I'm looking to do, try and build something for the, you know, the medium term, not just a kind of one-season wonder.
David Fish there, manager of Mosley, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. Congratulations to Mosley. Commiserations to Ramsbottom United. Also, commiserations to Loughborough Dynamo. They were beaten 2-1 by Nuneaton Borough. But good news for Matlock. Matlock beating Quorn by 2-0.
It was at Matlock side with 11 players missing.
Wow. Obviously, okay.
With the news of Bamber Bridges' unfortunate withdrawal, a few players were forced into self-isolation. So even Paul Phillips had to go onto the pitch last night, I believe.
So that interview I did last week where Paul was talking about the secretary chasing him around the pitch, trying to get his signature for form. He signed the form. Yeah. That's good news.
Pretty much.
Well done, that secretary. That's what we have to say. Yeah, never forgive Quan for the FA Vars match. How many years ago was it? 14 years ago. Never forgive him. Anyway, oh, that's some memory, some grudge, isn't it? Right, let's talk about Radcliffe, James. Radcliffe 5, Workington 3. 3-3, though, up until the last minute.
No, never mind that. It was Workington with 3-1 up with 20 minutes to go. Wow. As well. So,
what happened, James? Because this could have been Workington against Radcliffe. That was the mother of all banana skins. So well done.
I mean, yeah, again, Workington's shown that they are going to be a strong side. So again, what I was saying before, the North West Division is going to be a good, strong one to watch this year just because of the quality of teams. So yeah, Workington dominated the game a little bit early on, but Radcliffe, last 15 minutes, they turned into a bit of a powerhouse. And I think what Berkey said in the preview show, Radcliffe are going to be very interesting this year because they seem to be, they can be very explosive. If anyone re-watches the last 20 minutes of the Radcliffe game, again, another side, people will not want to drive. It's Radcliffe-Mosley in the next round. I don't know what's going to happen. Probably have a 15-14 game.
Right, look out for the draw on Friday on the npl.co.uk, we should say. Scarborough Athletic won't be in that draw, though, unfortunately for them. They were beaten 2-0 by Ashton United. Great result, that, for Ashton United, through to the next round. Stalybridge Celtic also through, starting there. Good start to the season. Stalybridge Celtic 3, Bishop Auckland 0. While Stamford beat AFC Sudbury by 4-0, and that seems like a good opportunity to welcome back to the show the Stamford manager, who I caught up with on Wednesday afternoon. Here's Graham Drury. Well, Graham, a big thank you for joining us, and congratulations. That's a great 4-0 victory there, and 9 goals in 2 matches as well, which isn't bad.
Yeah, no, it's 13 goals in 3 games, because obviously we had the FA Cup before that against this.
Sorry, Graham, my maths don't go to double figures. I do apologise. But yeah, carry on.
Yeah, I love it. So we played the 3 competitive games, scored 13 goals and not conceded. So I'm over the moon with that.
And obviously, the start to the season has been brilliant. But how was closed season? How was pre-season and preparations heading into this difficult season we're about to embark upon?
Yeah, we've had a fantastic pre-season. We've now played 12 games since COVID. We've scored 43 goals, only conceded 3 and had 9 clean sheets. So, we've been in fantastic form since the COVID situation. The lads are really, started the way they finished, if I'm honest. And, they all look super fit. They're all really competitive, all want to play. And we've just got a real desire in the camp at the moment.
What is your targets? Because obviously last season it was cut short. We were getting to something really, really exciting, I felt, in the South East Division. Lo and behold, 1 game into the league campaign, 2 teams up at the top, both scoring 5 goals, conceding none for the first game of the season. Don't know what the chances of that happening. What's your take on what's possible for Stamford this year?
Yeah, I think the league's a lot tougher this year. Obviously, you've got your Leeds, your Cleethorpes, your Carltons, your Stocksbridges. Cleethorpes, those all fantastic last year, all pushing. And then you've got the improvements of Frickley, Worksop, Ilkeston. So it's going to make for a lot tougher league. You've also got to mention the likes of Chasetown, Newcastle, Loughborough, Kidsgrove. You could go on forever. And every time you look at a league block and your fixtures, you just don't see no easy game. It's going to be a real tough division. But, for us, the way we've started, we're getting the majority of the group together with only 2 players moving on. I think we've improved this year. We've got to be trying to push. The ambitions are of the club. We want to try and push for promotion. My ambitions are trying to get promotion. So, we're going to give everything we've got again, Ben, and try and gain that, And like I say, it's a lot tougher division, but, we've just got to believe. And that's what we'll do. That's what we've done from minute one since coming back. And, hopefully consistency will stay there and we'll carry on performing like we are doing.
And the other thing to add as well, there was a crowd of over 300 there last night, and it's good to be back, isn't it? Even if you're winning or losing or drawing, it's just good to be back playing football and talking about football.
Yeah, it's fantastic, mate. So many people around the world miss it. I certainly did. And, my players was itching to get back to pre-season. That was one what we had to be really careful with because we had no start dates. So, it was important that we got that right. We got the timings right. We didn't overdo it. We made sure that the lads was keeping fit away from football. But like you say, just being back in and around the changing room, having a crowd there last night, we had a good crowd on Saturday as well. But, to be playing in front of fans, it's fantastic when you watch the Premiership and there's no fans there. It's a hard watch. It really is a hard watch. But to have football back and fans in the through the gates and back at games, it's brilliant, mate. It really is.
No, it really is. And final question, Graham, because obviously you were on the touchline last night and you can hear it with your throat, so I'm not going to keep you for too long. But a big big game coming up on Tuesday night away at Ilkeston. That goes back to what you were talking about before, about how competitive the South East Division is. What's your thoughts heading into that game?
Yeah, I watched them pre-season, and to be fair, they didn't have the greatest of pre-seasons, but you can't judge on pre-season at all. And, the way they've started, obviously they've won their 3 games. They've got some good signings, the competitive side. They've got some quality as well. Ollie Brown left us and went to join Ilkeston. So obviously he'd be looking to try and get one over us. And they've got real good backroom staff, some really quality on the pitch. And I've said to the players, this is perhaps going to be our biggest test so far. you know, by far. And, you know, we're going to go, we're full of confidence. We believe that we can, you know, win the game. It's going to be really tough, but we certainly won't go there for a point. We'll go there to try and win it, as we will every game. And we're really looking forward to the occasion. I think there'll be maximum crowd there, so that'll be good. Obviously, the facilities are fantastic, and the players are really looking forward to doing that.
Graham Drury there, manager of Stamford, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. It wouldn't be an FA Cup round of matches involving Northern Premier League teams without a long schlep up to the North East, especially midweek, James. That takes us to Prescott Cables. Sunderland RCA 0, Prescott Cables 4. A fantastic result that for Prescott Cables, especially on the road.
Big Banask and avoided there by Prescott Cables, but he'd done it in style against, again, a Northern League side who, as we keep saying every year, a team you don't want to be messing about with, realistically.
No, absolutely not. But Prescott scored 3 goals in added time, I think, in that game. So there you go. There's some gears there being moved into by Prescott Cables, especially after a long trip. So for more on this, on Wednesday afternoon, I caught up with the manager at Prescott Cables. It's a welcome to the show to Craig Davis.
As you can imagine, getting drawn to a North East side initially. A couple of eyebrows raised, like many of the other clubs from in and around our area. But for me, it was an opportunity for, you know, you got to relish in. You know, we're thankful that, you know, clubs at our level are still playing football. We know a lot of teams step two and up are not playing games. So initially, we're really grateful. But what a day out it was, you know, to have a proper day out, go up on the coach, all socially distanced, of course, and new times is, you know, adjusting to everything that's going on in the world. Difficult encounter, you know, we gauged from, and when we watched them, we thought they'd be direct and they'd try and play a little bit as well, and had good adaptation in their game. But I felt once we got in front, I felt we could sit off a little bit and invite some in pressure, and once we'd soaked it up, it lent itself to being able to counter them. And you know, so much so that we did that in the last 2-3 minutes of the game, managed to score 3 to take the tie away from them. Was it a 4-0? Arguably not, but I think, as I say, with them pushing on and looking to go for it, we were able to hurt them on the break.
And with regards to yourself, obviously you took over at the end of July, I think, and there's easier situations and circumstances to be taking over a football club than the COVID crisis we've been going through. How was that challenge of the closed season and all the difficulties that it's thrown up for managers across the league?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, like me and me staff, we're quite active in terms of how we want to plan training sessions and what match days look like. And, you know, obviously getting the go-ahead from our senior management team to, you know, we can do that, we can't do that. Small things of, you know, having certain amounts of players and staff in dressing rooms is, you know, we're limited to 8 to 10 to 11 people on a match day sometimes. So obviously having a team talk with 8 players sometimes could be difficult, but I must say and put it on record that, you know, and this will be echoed at most football clubs, but our chairman, our volunteers, our supporters have been absolutely unbelievable to, you know, the some of the risk assessments and some of the COVID guidance that they're having to put in place, you know, on hourly basis, never mind daily and weekly, because it's always constantly changing, as we all know. The work's been phenomenal, and as I said to the players, you know, usually you play for your supporters and play for, you know, individual accolades and stuff and team accolades, but, you know, we're playing for these people who are day in, day out, who are coming out to work as well, by the way, and volunteering to put things in place to make it safe for us to play games and safe for, you know, fans to come in and watch us, which is what it's all about, having supporters in the ground. It doesn't half show you what we've missed over those tough months.
Yeah, and what's I know you know the club before you got the job, but what's your take on the club itself? Because when I've been to Prescott, there's a good vibrant young fan base there, and you know it must be great to be on that touchline.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, I'm a Prescott lad. I'm born in Prescott and lived there for best part of over my life, really, before I took quite a big stint in London. And, you know, I think initially from other opposition players, the thing they always seemed to come away was, oh, you know, God, we've got to go to Prescott, because the fan base, as you said, and the, you know, teams in the recent years have been really strong and difficult to play against. And that's something that I've echoed in my time coming in such a short space, because, you know, we do rely on our supporters to be our 12th man. We do rely on, you know, the vocality and the noise that they can create. You know, we rely on our home ground trying to be a fortress, because the level that we're in, there's some really, really good teams, and we want them to come to us and know that they're going to be in for a really, really tough game. And anybody who's going to take 3 points off us, they're going to have to hope that we have an off day, because, as I say, we've got some... really got an edge and a real got a fight and a bit between our teeth that, as I say, I think, you know, we're a different animal than what we may have been in the last 12 months, which has come from the players just really investing in what we've tried to put in place. And it's all down to them. And as I say, the supporters are going to be massive for us going into the run of games.
No, great stuff. And final question, Craig. I think you touched upon this already, but big game this weekend, away to Clitheroe. You've both had winning starts to the league campaign. What's your sense on this game? And what's your expectations for the season to come for Prescott? What's your target, if I can ask you that, one game into the league campaign?
Firstly, I think, you know, as the pre-season talk is obviously... You know, Clitheroe have invested quite heavily and look to bring in, you know, players who've proven at this level and played higher and been at some top clubs higher up the ladder. So naturally, you look at them being right up there, but I'd imagine that will be their target. But from our end, we don't fear anybody. We don't care whether you've got X amount in the budget or you're bringing lads from higher up. You know, we as I said, we're a different breed this season, and we'll go into the game confident that we can cause them problems and really, you know, relay our messages to our players that, listen, it's about what we can do on the day. They'll have strings up their bow, of course, but it's about what we're going to do on the day. And, you know, I'd like to envisage that we'll cause them problems. Lastly, in terms of the season, I'm ambitious. The players are ambitious. You know, a good number of the players that we've kept from previous squads with Prescott have been in and around the playoffs. I'm not going to sit here and go, we're going to be right up there and the minimum target is playoffs, but we want to win as many games of football as we possibly can. We want to finish as high up the table as we possibly can. And, you know, the games in the last few weeks have obviously set us up for, hopefully, a really strong campaign, a good campaign.
Craig Davis there, manager of Prescott Cables, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. Some other results from elsewhere. Nantwich Town safely navigating a tricky game at Tividale. Tividale 2, Nantwich Town 4. 4-0 up with Nantwich Town in that game before Tividale got two goals back. But Dave Cook's side safely through to the next round. Also through, a bit squeaky this one, wasn't it? South Shields drawing 0-0. At Warrington Town, South Shields winning 6-5 on penalties. We had Paul Carden on the show, obviously, last week, talking about these opening games based for the South Shields. But even though they've been knocked out of the FA Cup, he'll be satisfied, I think, with that.
I think they're satisfied. They took them to penalties, but I think they'll be a bit disappointed
But I mean, overall, when they look back at it, technically that's 4 points against Basford and South Shields. That's not bad. Well, Hyde United are through to the next round. They beat West Allotment Celtic on the road by 5-0. It's a good job Berkey's not here. He'd have a field day with that, with the puns, wouldn't he? That's available. But Hyde United through to the next round. I'm not doing puns on this show. That's not my style, is it? No. But Hyde United will be cock-a-hoop with that. Hoop. Celtic. Never mind. No one was expecting the Celtic reference, though, were they? Anyway, West Auckland 0, Runcorn Linnets 0. Congratulations to Runcorn Linnets. They won 3-2 on penalties. And also congratulations to Worksop Town. They beat Westfields by 3-1. That's a decent trip, isn't it? So congratulations to Worksop Town. And to hear the mood in the camp after that win for Worksop, I caught up with their manager on Wednesday afternoon. It's a welcome back to the show to Craig Parry.
Yeah, well, a tough game, obviously, with the circumstances, the travel and everything regarding that. You know, we had to set off at 2:30 yesterday to get there. We had a couple of injuries as well, you know, to the side. But, you know, credit to the lads and credit to the squad, you know, in where they apply themselves, and yeah, what good result for us.
It's been a very good start to the season, it has to be said, for Worksop. I mean, how's preparations gone heading into this season?
Yeah, I think once we've been able to get into a pre-season training and games, we felt fine. The lads have really applied themselves. The club's been great. You know, they've had great support from above, from everyone involved. So we really, you know, I believe we've had a good pre-season, really. And we're just glad to get the competitive games now up and running and something to play for now. Let's you know, as the season carries on.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, we're recording this interview on Wednesday, so we don't know who you've got in the next round. But when it comes to the league campaign, you know, you beat Loughborough in the first game of the season 6-2. You'd expect to go top of the table with that, but then Leek and Stamford score 5 and concede none in their game. So, I mean, how competitive is the South East Division this year, and what's your expectations for what Worksop can do?
Yeah, it's very strong. You know, it really is a strong division this year. You know, a lot of people out there making a lot of noise. You know, they are. And rightly so. You know, people are spending wisely and spending money where, you know, and trying to strengthen the best they can. You know, also there's teams in there, you know, like you've mentioned there, Leek and Stamford, that have experienced in this side of the division and were strong last season and obviously kept majority of the squad. So, yeah, you know, they're strong, but there's other sides in there as well. You know, there's Belper in there, Loughborough, you know, tough, Fickley going to be in there. So there's, you know, there's many more. It's a really tough division this year. And, you know, we've just got to take game by game ourselves and apply ourselves every game and see how many points we can, you know, pick up and see what we can, you know, get out of every single game. And I'm trying to take everything positively, really. You know, that's where we see it.
And the next game's, I think it's on Tuesday, isn't it, against Wisbeach? What are you expecting there?
It's another tough game because travel-wise on a Tuesday night, they haven't landed nicely for us. On the fixtures, especially with no game at the weekend, it's baffling then how we end up with a Tuesday off on a Saturday, but then, you know, travelling to Wisbeach, which probably are, you know, one of our furthest trips on a Tuesday night. But, you know, we've got to get on with it. We've got to apply ourselves right. It's going to be a tough game. There's no, you know, one thing I will say with this division, every side is competitive, and we've just got to go there, play ourselves, and try and take the game to Wisbeach. And, you know, as we mentioned last night after the game, you know, we'll be going there to them on Tuesday, well prepared. You know, we'll be in trained, you know, on that side of things. We're not in here to give days off and various things. We're in working hard and going and trying to take the game to them and score as many goals as we can.
And Craig, the last time we spoke, you took over. I think it was in April, I think we caught up, didn't we? You know, how good is it to be back on the touchline? Be it home or away. I mean, it's good, isn't it, all this?
Yeah, I go back to the Loughborough game, really. It's the first game that for a long time, really, I've walked out onto a pitch to make my way to a dugout with butterflies and nerves, you know, in the body, and that feeling of, you know, football's back. And it were great. You can't, anyone that's in football, non-league, professionally, or just, you know, community football, or, you know, any local football, it's great to be in competitive football and to be back in there competing and having fans there and, you know, feeling all the emotions that you do within a game. And yeah, it's great for us. It's great to be back in that environment. I'm sure every other manager will say the same, you know, and we hope, you know, that it holds out and we can get, you know, this season carried on and completed and, you know, let's see where it all takes us.
Craig Parry, manager of Worksop Town, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. And that's the last interview with the managers, because that is a lot of work. 9 managers on this week's show. Oh, no. Where's Tadcaster gone?
I think you missed that result.
I missed Tadcaster, everyone. I do apologise. Right, Paul Quinn coming up in a second. Let's cover off Tadcaster now. Tadcaster Albion 7, Liverland REM YCA 2. Good result, that, for Tadcaster Albion. Safer through to the next round. And as promised just moments ago, let's hear now from the manager at Tadcaster Albion. Here's Paul Quinn.
It was tough, to be honest. And believe it or not, the scoreline may suggest it was really, really comfortable. But you know, our opponents came with a game plan and nothing to lose. And it's always tricky, as I'm sure many managers will tell you, when you're playing against a team that's deemed as the underdogs or lower league opposition. And, you know, they came and had a real go. And it wasn't really until the last sort of 10, 15 minutes that we were really, really comfortable in the game. You know, arguably, I would suggest that they could have even been ahead at half-time. But we're just delighted we're through to the next round. That's the main thing.
When it comes to, obviously, we're recording this on Wednesday, so we don't know who you've got in the next round. But it's been a decent start to the season, a 0-0 draw in the league campaign on Saturday away at Trafford. So how's preparations been like coming into this season? Because it has been tricky, all this COVID business, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been the longest pre-season ever, hasn't it? That's the first thing. I think our last competitive game was March, and then, you know, we're sort of like... million-dollar question, when are we coming back? Yeah, are we coming back? Is it behind closed doors? How are we going to return? And then navigating that with, you know, small bubbles of players coming back, non-contact training. You know, it's been an absolute minefield, really, for want of a better phrase. And I think we're still sort of navigating through it now, aren't we? But it's been good in any way. It's been a positive because I think it's brought people closer together. Everyone's had that sort of common purpose to overcome this situation, and I'm sure many clubs up and down the country have found positives from it. But yeah, it's been difficult for us as management and coaching staff, the players, you know, people off the field, sort of trying to problem solve all the things that are thrown at them. But it's been as good as it can be, and I think we've gained a lot of things from it. We've changed a lot of things that probably we weren't doing efficiently in the past. So there has been some positives that have come out of it.
And with regards to the club more generally, crowds are back, which is good to see. And we've had Tadcaster on a few times during this horrendous year of 2020. It's been a particular...
Yeah.
The start of the year was horrendous for Tadcaster. The club seems to have come out of this okay and seems to be moving forward now, which is great to see.
Yeah, I don't think we're quite back on our proverbial feet yet, but we're certainly getting to that point. I think the support we've had from the community, the work that's been done off the field has been absolutely tremendous, and the plans now to sort of future-proof the club are really, really exciting. We've got plans for a new facility, a new clubhouse, new changing facilities, a new part to the ground and the stadium to really take it into 2021 and beyond and try and future-proof against, you know, the flood situation that unfortunately does face us from time to time. But there's things that we can do to sort of prevent it being as devastating it was at the start of the year. And obviously then when you've got coronavirus compounded on top of that, it makes it a doubly difficult year. But, you know, we've shown some real resilience and some real togetherness at the club, and we look like there's some significant light now at the end of the tunnel.
Oh, that's great to hear. And let's talk about the future then, and the immediate futures. Quite a sizeable game this weekend in the FA Trophy. Marine coming to town. I mean, how much are you looking forward to this one, or apprehensive to this one? I mean, what's your take on this fixture?
I'm looking forward to every fixture at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't really care who we're playing, whether it's you know, a friendly or a competitive game. That's something we've said to the players as well. Is I think it's important. I think over the years you do take things for granted, don't you? You do take the Saturday football for granted, and there seems to be so much of it. But I think we're of the mentality now where you can't take any game or any minute of any game for granted, and we've got to be grateful that we've got a fixture. And in terms of Saturday's game in particular, we know it's going to be a tough game. We know Marine are going to be strong, but as you said, we've started the season in a positive vein of form, and you know, we're going to the game with confidence. But it's a cup game, and we'll see where it goes, and hopefully we get up to that maximum capacity in at the ground, which is massively important, and everybody observes the social distancing. And on that, I think the games that we've played so far, we've played Gisborough, Trafford, and we played Litherland on Tuesday night, and all the fixtures have been managed fantastically by the clubs, and the supporters have been brilliant to observe all the restrictions in place, and long may that continue.
Yes, absolutely. And final question, Paul, you've already touched upon it, but there's two things I'm never going to take for granted again. Saturday football and teachers, for obvious reasons. You know, it's good to be back, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Very good to be back. Just some normality. I think that's where we're at, isn't it? And, you know, like I said, let's just, everybody now as a non-league community, my message would be just to do everything that you're asked to do at the ground, whether it's wear a face covering, whether it's social distance, sanitise your hands, one in, one out in the bar area, whatever it is, just do it, because we want to maintain this momentum now we've got as a non-league community, and we know how important the non-league game is to so many people, including myself. So let's keep up the great work, and let's hope that it's a really positive 2020, 2021.
Paul Quinn there, manager of Tadcaster Albion. James, that is the last interview with a manager on this week's show. Hope you've enjoyed all those. That whistle stop tour of Step 4. We will be having the Step 4 show in a couple of weeks' time, of course. We'll have more Step 4 managers on that show in a couple of weeks. Let's round up the results then before we hand over to Thomas Fina for fixture preview for league matters this weekend. Whitby Town 1, Warrington Rylands 1. Warrington Rylands winning 4-3 on penalties. Where did that come from? That's a great result, isn't it? Not for us, but yeah, for Rylands it is.
Yeah, I mean, where Whitby Town, I was speaking with Paul Connolly after the game just to see what happened. His response was, it's Whitby Town in the FA Cup.
Well, there we go. And finally, for the results, and it's I'm not ending in a good way, Whitley Bay 3, Witton Albion 2. So commiserations to Witton Albion going out there. Right, so we're recording this on Wednesday. The show will be out on Thursday. And as I said, that's because of the FA Youth Cup. I'm covering a match on Friday, so I won't be able to put the show out as per normal. So we're out a day early, which means we don't know the FA Cup draw. But the mpl.co.uk will have all the latest on Friday when that draw's made. And a big good luck at time of recording to Stafford Rangers. They're travelling to Worcester City on Wednesday night. So big good luck to them in the first qualifying round of the FA Cup. And we'll have more on the second qualifying round on next week's show. But James, it's to league matters next that we turn, and looking forward to this weekend.
Yeah, and obviously keep an eye out for not just ticket news and information about games, but also pay attention to the local regulations, especially with the laws that came out today. In most places, it may restrict what services can give in the ground. So pay attention before you go out, and we don't want to be losing football this early in the season if you can help it.
Yeah, and just to say, catering is important. If there's no pies, make a sandwich. That's what we're saying, isn't it?
Basically.
Yeah, good. Anyway, James, a big thank you for joining us, social media officer for the Northern Premier League, and we'll be catching up with your good self next week.
No worries, mate. Thank you very much.
Well, a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's NPL show. But enough chatter about the FA Cup. It's now time to draw our eyes to the second round of matches in the Northern Premier League Premier Division. And joining me now down the other end of the phone, it's a welcome back, everybody. He joined us last during our crisis podcast towards the end of last season. He's back now in more calmer times. It's Thomas Feeney, everyone. Hello, Thomas. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you. Yeah, it's really nice just to be talking about actual football, actual games that are taking place.
That's right. I mean, we've got to say, obviously, you cover the National League. We're recording this on Wednesday. We don't know what's going on there, so we're just not going to mention it all too much. But tricky all this football like. I mean, in my intro there, I said, you know, how great it is to be back. We're not fully back, are we, really? But it's good to have football. That's the main thing.
Yeah, we're returning slowly but surely to some form of normality, and hopefully that remains for the foreseeable future.
Absolutely. So let's start with normal, and let's try and proceed that way. So normally, I start off talking about South Shields being league leaders. One game in, South Shields are league leaders, everyone. Who knew? So South Shields on Saturday, travelling to Hyde United. Hyde United were beaten by Gainsborough Trinity. I don't think you can read too much into that from the opening day of the season. It's an away trip for South Shields. It's going to be a tough one on that 3G pitch in Tameside.
Yeah, it definitely is. I think with South Shields, it's kind of obviously with what happened last season, the big question was, would they be able to keep the majority of the squad together? And obviously, they've been able to, and I think everybody is deeming them to be the favourite. I certainly am. You know, I think when you look at the work they've done during the off-season as well, do to me just look like a National League North side in the making for next season. So, I mean, you know, it is going to be, though, a really tough test for them. And I like what Hyde United have done in that they've recruited smartly. They're in a position where, you know, they've got that 3G pitch. Can they take advantage of that? Maybe take more advantage of that? So it's certainly going to be a tough test for South Shields. But again, I do think, you know, you normally say after one game, you can't read too much into the table. But South Shields being top, I think that's probably where they'll be at the end of the season.
Hashtag early days. But the team in second at the moment is Buxton. Buxton with a thumping 4-2 victory over Radcliffe last Saturday. This is one of the switcheroo fixtures. Buxton taking on Whitby Town at Silverlands. It was obviously due to take place at the Turnbull, but it's been switched for obvious reasons. Buxton are looking mightily, mightily impressive because Radcliffe had recruited well, and to beat them 4-2, pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah, I think, you know, with Buxton, it was one of those where they made one signing and you go, oh, right, OK. Then they make another and you go, OK. And then another and another. And I mean, you look at the squad on paper, it is just, for the level, it is an absolutely fantastic team. And, you know, Tommy Taylor in that is, to me, for the level, I think he is the best goalkeeper in the league. So they just keep basically going, making more and more impressive signings. And there's a reason why they are seen as one of the teams that will definitely be getting one of them playoff places because of the work they've done. But I've got to say, I think Whitby Town are an outsider for getting into them playoffs because I really like the work Chris Hardy's done in terms of he's brought in players where they've got that track record. You know, likes of Jacob Hazel, I really rate him. And I think for the level, you know, he's somebody that can definitely be getting the goals. So I think this is going to be a really tough test for Buxton. And it is one of those where at the end of the season, I would not be surprised if these two teams are in them top five places.
And this weekend, Gainsborough Trinity will be travelling to Warrington Town in what I'm going to describe as game of the day.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. I've got another game that I'll be saying.
We'll come back to that. I know which one you mean, but we'll come back to that.
But no, I think, you know, when you look at what Curtis Woodhouse has done, it's been, I think it's been well documented the way in which he's been signing players, you know, quite a few signings that I would put down smart business, you know, players that have got a bit of a point to prove perhaps. And that's kind of the kind of player that he likes. And this is a really tough test for both teams because Warrington, I think I'm going to say every team's got a chance of being in the top five. But when you look at the work that Warrington have done, you know, lockdown, to me, lockdown came at a really bad time for them because I felt that they would, that team that were just starting to pick up that form, there's always one team that goes into the playoffs with a good run of form. And I really did think that would be Warrington. So, you know, it is it's another really tough game to call because of the work the two sides have done.
Another switcheroo fixture for this weekend. It was scheduled to take place at the Flamingo Land Stadium. It's now taking place at Broadhurst Park. FC United, who got their campaign off with a 1-1 draw against Nantwich last weekend, hosting Scarborough. Scarborough have a great 2-0 win at Atherton Coles in what I'm describing as game of the day.
There we
done
go.
Done it twice.
Yeah, and I'll agree with you on this one. I mean, it is just, it's one of those games where you just think, obviously for Scarborough, a fantastic win last weekend and then a disappointing result and performance, it's got to be said, against Ashton United to, you know, be eliminated in the FA Cup. But you look at the work that Scarborough are doing, Darren Kelly's, he's starting to put that team together. You can see the work that's being made. Obviously, they lost three players to Buxton and, you know, that kind of was a bit of a downer for them, but they are starting to build that team and I like the work Darren's been doing there. And, you know, FC United and Manchester, I'm of course going to say nothing but positive things about them while talking to you, but it's interesting to see where the goals will come from for FC United.
We scored six last night. Last night.
Wait a minute. You didn't let me finish because I think that was the point was they lose a player, gone to the SPFL. It shows the quality, you know, the kind of players that they've had. And that was the question to me. But, you know, scoring that many goals in the FA Cup will obviously give those players a nice bit of confidence. So I can just see that. I think this, again, I hate saying this because it always ends 0-0 when I say this. But I think there'll be goals in this one. I think this will be a high-scoring draw.
Let's talk about one of the other games of the day. It's Ashton United taking on Bamber Bridge. Both teams opening their campaigns with wins.
Michael Clegg's manager really has got a good reputation, really impressive. And then the signings that they've been able to make, they obviously had this predicament last season where they didn't make a great start. And it kind of was a case of just get to the end of the season. Obviously, you know, it came along a lot sooner than everyone thought it would. But the work then that Michael Clegg's been able to do to implement this team, and they were really impressive against Scarborough, you know, but really good performance and starters you mean to go on. They've made a fantastic start and they'll be looking to carry that on.
Let's talk about some of the teams who picked up draws in their opening game of the season last weekend. We've already mentioned FC United. Grantham Town got a very credible draw against Morpeth. Grantham Town this weekend will be hosting Atherton Colls. Atherton Colls opening their campaign with a defeat at home to Scarborough. Grantham, under Martin McIntosh, they've recruited quite cannily over the close season.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, you talk about wanting to have a good start. Going to a place like Morpeth and getting that point, you know, it does set a bit of a marker for them. For me, Martin McIntosh is one of those managers I always felt he would end up within the National League. I remember there was a time where he was linked with a couple of jobs and I thought somebody's gonna go for him, you know, because what he does is he sets up his teams. They're always very well organised and they've always got that threat as well going forward. And it's kind of a good combination when you're able to instill that into the teams that you manage. So this is going to be a tough game for Atherton. But then again, they have got players that, you know, on their day can do something. So another really interesting game.
We've also got Lancaster City. They picked up a draw against Stalybridge Celtic. I think they equalised in the last 10 minutes, didn't they, in that game at Bower Fold. Lancaster City on Saturday will be hosting Basford United. As we discussed earlier, Basford, game of the weekend last weekend, certainly one of them, being beaten by Warrington at home. Obviously, Steve Chettle's going to want a response from Basford, but at the Giant Axe, he's going to be able to get that response.
Yeah, and again, you know, I think we've said game of the day how many times. This is another
Thomas, let me just, so don't get any complaints from Basford and Lancaster fans. This is game of the day.
Trademark
it. Right. Yeah, good.
I mean, you know, look, on paper, this is a fantastic match because last season, both teams were so impressive. And I made my prediction that these two, I mean, I think I've said it for everyone now, but when I wrote it down, these two for me would be both in the playoffs at the end of the season because you look at what Basford United did last season and, you know, they've kind of tried to carry that on, carry that momentum on. Someone like Steve Chettle, he'll know what he's doing with that. And then you look at Lancaster and kind of the run of form that they've had in that season. If they can carry that on, you know, the momentum, I felt it was really with them. So it's another really, really interesting game. And I think that's the thing is when you've got these teams facing each other, it's whether or not they can keep that momentum going because both showed last season they can pick up that run of form and neither team has had to really adapt too much in terms of, you know, the signings are very much fitting the blueprint that both had last season. So this really is a game that, you know, a lot of interest in it because it'll be fascinating to see how this one ends.
Yes, absolutely. And we mentioned Morpeth moments ago. Morpeth will be travelling to Mickleover. Mickleover, I'm going to suggest on Hiding to Nothing on Saturday, travelling to South Shields. I suppose John McGrath's season starts here. But then that said, Morpeth.
Yeah, I think, you know, with Mickleover, it's kind of bottom of the table after one game. But like you said, it was a bit of a Hiding to Nothing, you know, facing such a good team. And I think that'll be the message, kind of forget about that first game and you know, kind of move on. Again, the recruitment for Mickleover, I like what they've done. I like the type of player they've been able to get in. For Morpeth, on the other hand, their home form is so impressive and it's their away form that needs that bit of improvement from last season. So again, I suppose the message will be our season starts now because if they can get an away win just to kind of get things underway, they've got that confidence with the home form that they know if their away form can be, you know, anywhere near as good, they've got a real chance of doing something. And again, I think they are one of the favourites when it came to getting in a playoff place with certain people. So they've got a great chance. So it's another really interesting game. I think I've said that about every game so far, though.
I can't say game of the day. I'm not going to. You only get three on this show. Right, okay. So, two teams who opened their campaigns with one-all draws, Nantwich Town and Stalybridge Celtic, they go head-to-head this weekend at the Weaver Stadium. I think that's a really good draw against Lancaster City. Nantwich Town against FC United, it was a fair result, in my humble opinion. Interesting to see what the outcome of this one will be.
Yeah, I think sometimes a team gets a draw and you know there's disappointment. I think for both these teams, they'll have been happy with the result. You know, for Nantwich, they're another team. Recent years, they always seem to be there. They always seem to be there at the end of it. And I think when you look at the recruitment side of it, they've been able to not make too many drastic changes in the sense of, again, the calibre of play they've been able to get in. And so I think for Stalybridge, this is a really tough game because for Nantwich, the way that they'll be playing, it's one of those matches where I do think Nantwich will get the victory. And if Stalybridge were to get something from this, if they were to get the win, I mean, it would put a real marker down, a bit of a statement in terms of, because, you know, their form last season was hit and miss. If they could maybe pick up a bit of form, then all of a sudden, you know, you're looking at them and thinking, could they do something this season? So start of the season, every game fascinates me. But it's another one where for Nantwich, you know, I think they'd be expecting a win this weekend. So interesting to see what happens.
Two young managers looking to get wins, first wins of the season this weekend. Go head-to-head at Causeway Lane. Matlock Town taking on Stafford Rangers. Both suffered 1-0 defeats on the opening weekend. So we'll wait and see. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, and I think when changes are made, you know, when kind of starting again, you know, with Stafford Rangers especially, it really feels like a case of it's kind of a blank piece of paper for them. And it's how long that transition period takes. For some clubs, they hit the ground running immediately. For others, it might take a little bit of time, but they're in a position where you've got managers who, they know what their blueprint is. They know what they want to do. It's just whether or not they're able to kind of implement that immediately or not. So, you know, for Matlock, I think home form is going to be really important for them. So I'm fascinated to see what happens for them this weekend.
And finally, very good fixture preview, I think this week, Thomas. Well done. Radcliffe against Witton Albion.
Yeah, and I think it's another one where, for Radcliffe, in terms of confidence, the performance they had in that last 15 minutes in the FA Cup, you know, to be 3-1 down and to win 5-3 against a really good Workington team, that will have given them, you know, so much for them. And for Witton, you know, when they made the signing of Steve McNulty, that's the kind of signing where you're looking and thinking that could really be a bit of a game changer. Because to me, defensively at this level, you know, the amount of experience he's got, you know, I think if the season had ended normally, he'd have been another promotion under his belt with York City. Instead, obviously, it didn't happen. But this one really interests me. It really intrigues me because you've got two teams that, on paper, there's certainly something about them where you could say they could have a go at this. They're really good. You know, I know Lee Fowler will be looking at his Radcliffe team and saying, why not? Why can't we go for it? They've recruited quite well. You know, and then for Witton, I think they'll be in the same boat. So it's another one. You know, get the win, build the momentum, and then see what happens.
Well, Thomas, that was a job well done. People don't realise how difficult it is to do the fixture preview for the second week of the season. There's just literally nothing to grip onto. It's like cliffhanger, isn't it? There's just nothing. So well done. I think that was very informative. Speaking of information, just before we go, just a quick plug for your work. As I said earlier at the start of this, Wednesday we're recording this bit of the show. There's a lot of stuff going to be happening over the next 48, 72 hours. So where's the best place to keep abreast of your views on what's going on in the world of non-league football?
Well, if you want to be bored senseless, you can follow me on Twitter. That's at Thomas Sweeney. But, I mean, it actually is at the moment really, really interesting what's happening. So, yeah. But again, I will make it boring, whatever. So, yeah, you can follow, but don't get your expectations up.
And a big thank you to Thomas Feeney for joining us on this week's Pitching In NPL show. And a big thank you to all the managers who've come on this week's show. Neil Young at Marine, Graham Drury at Stamford, Marty Carruthers at Ilkeston, David Fish at Mosley, Mark Swan at Chasetown, Paul Quinn at Tadcaster, Craig Parry at Worksop, Prescott Cables, Craig Davis, and Kyle Jarrett at Marsk United. And a big good luck to everyone in the FA Cup draw for the second qualifying round on Friday. Remember, for all the latest goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thempl.co.uk. But I'll be Ben, and you make sure that you all have a lovely and safe weekend, and you'll be hearing from us again next week. Bye-bye.